Now, as I mentioned, to understand what's happening in Hong Kong today, you need to know the history between Hong Kong and Beijing. So let's unpack that with historian Jeff Wasserstrom. He's the author of China in the 21st Century, What Everyone Needs to Know.
One of the things that's fueling Hong Kong people's protest now is they want to have more of a say in how their city is run. And they want to have more of a say than not just they have now, but than they ever had when the city was a British Crown colony. And when Beijing looks at Hong Kong, they're very aware of the fact that this is a part of China that was controlled by a foreign power. So one thing that the Communist Party likes to brag about is that only under their rule was all of China brought back under control of one power.
So take us back to 1997, when control over Hong Kong then returned to Chinese rule. What were the principles laid out during that handover? What were the promises that were made?
Well, the main promise that was made was that for the next 50 years, Hong Kong would be governed very differently than any other part of the People's Republic of China, and that it would have greater freedom of speech and freedom of assembly. And of course, people of Hong Kong who had watched very closely what happened during the 1989 protests associated with Tiananmen Square were very determined that when their city became part of the People's Republic of China, it would be one in which you could still hold gatherings without brute force being used to break them up.
There were also certain freedoms that were laid out for Hong Kong as well. I mean, freedom of the press, right to protest.
Yeah, I think it's really important to remember that the fact that the press remained as free as it did in Hong Kong after 1997 was really extraordinary. The fact that newspapers and television shows could criticize the government, this was something we'd never seen in the world. There were all sorts of discussions that people were self-censoring, that Beijing was intimidating people. But for the most part, it was extraordinary how much freedom was maintained there. And the internet was freer significantly than on the mainland. But it didn't just happen seamlessly. Beijing has tried at several times to rein in Hong Kong, and the people of Hong Kong have pushed back to defend the rights that they have and to call for even greater ones. And there have been several moments in the recent past that protests have succeeded in doing just that, which is part of what emboldens people to take to the streets now.
I mean, it just feels like one of the inherent contradictions in the whole one country, two systems formula. Now we've got these protests, and aren't they kind of the most heated that Hong Kong has ever seen?
They are the most heated, and they got particularly heated after tear gas was used against protesters who, by most accounts, were behaving quite civilly. So as we see in protests in many parts of the world, including China in the past, the demonstrations become, in part, demonstrations for the right to demonstrate itself.
I got to say, seeing some of the pictures, the size of these protests does recall the 1989 pro-democracy movement in Tiananmen Square, where, of course, hundreds of protesters were killed. Where do you think all of this is headed? Are there people in Hong Kong who worry this could become another Tiananmen?
There's certainly a worry about that. And there are possibilities between complete victory and violent defeat. I mean, there is the possibility of the chief executive, who's widely disliked, being removed from office, which would not solve the fundamental contradictions, but it could ratchet down some of the anger and give the protesters a feeling of having accomplished something and give Beijing a sense that they haven't given in to all the demands. I think Xi Jinping is obsessed with projecting an aura of strength as he feels it's one of the best cards he has to play. But China also has something invested in looking like a different kind of governing regime than in a place like North Korea.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this Hong Kong chapter plays out. Jeff Wasserstrom, the author of China in the 21st Century, thank you very much.
Oh, it's been my pleasure to be on here.